The Malaysian Minister of Foreign Affairs will deliver an oral opinion before the International Court of Justice ICJ, The Hague, the Netherlands, in relation to the presence and activities of the United Nations, other international organizations and third states, and in relations to the occupied Palestinian territory. On the occasion, Indonesia urged Israel to comply with its obligation to the UN as a third state operating in Palestine.
Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Sugiono Wednesday urged Israel to comply with its obligation to the United Nations, international organizations, and third states operating in Palestine. In an oral opinion delivered at the International Court of Justice at the Advisory Opinion Conference session in The Hague, Sugiono said that this obligation arises based on international law and the UN Charter, which stipulates that Israel has an obligation to respect, protect, and assist the UN, both assets, offices, and UN personnel, wherever they are, including in this case in Palestine. According to him, the step of obstructing, even prohibiting UN organizations such as United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, or UNRWA, and other international organizations from operating to provide humanitarian assistance is a violation of the obligation.
I wish to stress that as a failure to perform the above-mentioned obligations would result in the suffering of innocent civilians, particularly the vulnerable groups such as the elderly, women and children, and Israel's non-fulfillment of those obligations constitutes a violation of human rights obligations.
Furthermore, Sugiono said, as the occupying power, Israel also has an obligation under international law, including humanitarian law and human rights law, to protect civilians in Palestine. The occupying power is obliged to guarantee the basic needs of the Palestinian people, guarantee their basic rights, including the basic rights to access health, education, welfare, and other basic rights. International law has guaranteed that basic facilities for health and education facilities must not be damaged, let alone destroyed. Indonesia, through Foreign Minister Sugiono, emphasized that Israel has failed to fulfill these international obligations. The action of prohibiting the operation of UNRWA, prohibiting humanitarian assistance for the people of Gaza from the UN and various other parties, has proven that Israel does not comply with international law.
Next, we have information about Indonesian Foreign Minister highlight Palestine's rights to self-determination. Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono highlights the right to self-determination held by the Palestinian people before the International Court of Justice in The Hague, the Netherlands. He said that the Palestinian people are currently unable to exercise their right to self-determination due to Israel's failure to fulfill its obligation as the occupying power. And Yaron Roni will deliver his report.
Israel's failure to meet its obligation has resulted in the Palestinian people being unable to exercise their basic rights as a nation, including the right to self-determination. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Sugiono, before the International Court of Justice in The Hague, the Netherlands, on Wednesday. Based on the Fourth Geneva Convention, Israel, as the occupying power, is bound by the obligation to ensure the provision of basic supplies, accept and facilitate relief schemes, maintain medical services, and protect humanitarian personnel, not conduct any forms of collective punishment, and not forcibly transfer and deport civilian population.
This honorable court has repeatedly and equivocally stated in the 2004 Wall Opinion, as well as the 2024 Legal Consequences Opinion, that Palestinians have the right to self-determination. This opinion has also been exemplified by a multitude of resolutions of the United Nations.
Furthermore, Sugiono said that the reality has shown the opposite. According to him, the world has witnessed the systematic destruction of civilian infrastructure and hospitals in Gaza, which makes life impossible. According to him, this action actively hinders the spread of the Palestinian people and hinders their right to determine their own political, socio-economic, and cultural status.
Now we have information about Indonesia begins drafting national adaptation plan on climate change. And Yaron Roni has the details.
The Indonesian government officially started drafting its national adaptation plan, NAP, on climate change on Friday. This document is a requirement for countries that have ratified the Paris Agreement and must be submitted to the UNFCCC. In an online launch from Jakarta, Deputy for Climate Change Control and Carbon Economic Value Measurement at the Ministry of Environment, Ari Subianto highlighted the importance of the plan in enhancing adaptation actions through policies and planning, as outlined in Article 7 of the Paris Agreement. Important elements of the NAP include an inventory of impacts, future climate change projections, adaptation options based on those impacts, an implementation strategy, and monitoring and evaluation components. Currently, only 51 countries have submitted their national adaptation plan documents to the UNFCCC. Indonesia is determined to finalize its plan before the Conference of Parties in Brazil this November.
Let's move on to our next info, where the first wave of Indonesian pilgrims for the second 2024 Hajj season is departing for Saudi Arabia on Friday, May the 2nd. More details from Dora Pandede. The
Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs has confirmed that all facilities for this year's Hajj pilgrimage, including accommodation, transportation, meals, and religious guidance, are fully prepared and operational, both in Indonesia and Saudi Arabia. The Director General of Hajj and Umrah Organization at the Ministry of Religious Affairs, Yama Latif, announced at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday that the first group of pilgrims will begin their journey on Friday.
Dan besok, insyaAllah, sebanyak 7,514 jamaah dan some 7,414 Hajj pilgrims and officers are departing for Medina via 19 flight groups. The first group to depart will be from Jakarta Pondok Gede Embarkation 1, yang insyaAllah akan menjadi kloter perdana dalam operasional haji tahun ini.
This year, Indonesia is standing over 203,000 pilgrims departing from 14 embarkation points across the country. Yama also reminded pilgrims to maintain their health, follow the guidance of officials, respect the laws in the Holy Land, and uphold the good name of Indonesia during their spiritual journey.
Our next info is about the National Research and Innovation Agency, PRIN, calls for digital access and safer schools on National Education Day. Ofra has the details.
In Jakarta, the National Research and Innovation Agency, RIN, is highlighting the urgent need to improve digital access and create safer, more inclusive schools across Indonesia. Speaking at a public forum on Friday in commemoration of National Education Day 2025, Head of RIN's Education Research Center, Trina Fizanti, said quality education is more than just buildings or curriculum. It's about fairness, access, and innovation that truly reaches all students from cities to remote villages.
Pendidikan bermutu? Quality education is not just about infrastructure or curriculum, but about fairness, access, and innovation that can reach all children from some other country. They become students to remote
areas. She also advised that digitalization must be understood not as a trend, but as a tool to close education gaps and improve learning outcomes.
Digitalization?
Digitalization is not just about gadgets and online platforms. It's about how technology matters to inequality, improve access, and enhance the quality of learning. And decent schools are not just about math buildings, but a safe, inclusive environment that supports students' growth and well-being. Fizanti said quality education is possible if everyone works together. RIN supports this effort through research that guides better, more inclusive education policies.
Coming up next, information about Indonesia's Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology has officially launched a new initiative, Iklim Saintek Berdampak, aimed at ensuring that higher education, science and technology have a real
ini adalah sebuah komitmen kita semua. This is commitment from all of us to ensure that higher education, science and technology are not only developed, not just activated by our universities, but truly have an impact on society and the nation.
The program is on three main pillars: developing superior human resources, transforming higher education, and accelerating research and policy. Minister Yulianto emphasized the need for universities to evolve into fourth-generation institutions, adaptive industry connected, and focus on outcomes rather than just academic process. He also highlighted the Big Design Tech Berdampak is designed as a collaborative national movement using the Quoruto or even Pantahelix model, which brings together universities, industry, government, communities, and the media. The goal is to create a stronger, more responsive higher education ecosystem that truly serves the needs of Indonesia's people on its future.
Next info is about Indonesia's Minister of Basic and Secondary Education invites teachers and communities to improve education quality. Rano has the details.
This year's commemoration of Indonesia National Education Day serves as a reminder of the collective responsibility to improve education across the nation. Speaking on Friday, Wednesday 10th, Indonesia Minister of Basic and Secondary Education Abdul Muti stressed that the success of education is not solely the government's task, but a shared duty of the entire society.
Usaha untuk mewujudkan fungsi dan tujuan pendidikan tersebut tidak hanya menjadi tugas.
The effort to achieve the goals of education is not only the task and responsibility of the government, but also the whole society. We need participation to provide quality education for all. Quality education is the prerequisite for us to become a developed nation and nation with dignity. Therefore, my children, you are the future hope of the nation.
Minister Muti also encouraged students to support education by building good daily habits like waking up early, praying, studying hard, and living a healthy life. He said these simple routines have shaped strong character and reflect the spirit of Indonesian young generation. This year's theme, Universal Participation to Achieve Quality Education for All, highlights the need for everyone, teachers, families, communities, and the government to work together so every child has an equal chance to succeed.
Last but not least, we have info about ITUC, Asia Pacific General Secretary highlights the importance of fair labor regulations on May Day. Secretary General of the International Trade Union Confederation Asia Pacific, ITUC, emphasized the need for fair and inclusive labor regulation. Also has the details.
Secretary General of the International Trade Union Confederation Asia Pacific, Soraya Yoshida, emphasized the importance of collaboration in creating fair and inclusive labor regulations. He delivered this message during his speech at the International Workers' Day celebration on Thursday in Jakarta. In his remarks, Yoshida also reaffirmed Confederation's full support for the struggles of Indonesian workers.
International Trade Union Confederation, ITUC, we remain steadfast in its support for the struggle of you, Indonesian workers. Following the Constitutional Court decision, it is very crucial that we collaborate with the government and employers to develop new labor law that is fair, inclusive, and protect fundamental rights of all workers.
Furthermore, Yoshida said that the success of this year's May Day celebration would not have been possible without the unity and solidarity of all Indonesian workers. He also expressed his gratitude for participation and enthusiasm of everyone involved in organizing the 2025 International Workers' Day.
This is the most information that happens in Indonesia this week on Highlight of the Week.
Thank you,
after this stint, the batter of Otak Otak
tools as using a piece of stick. With a size of 10 to 15 centimeters, then the snack is roasted or grilled using charcoal, tempting appetite of typical aroma. In this city such as Jakarta, although it is difficult to find, coconut shell can still be obtained in the traditional market.
If lips are easy, only coconut shell is hard to find. We almost find coconut shell in some markets.
Such type of culinary, which has begun to grow in coastal areas, can be enjoyed as a snack or dish with some rice. Otak-otak is more delicious to enjoy if it's warm enough. In Java, otak-otak is usually eaten with peanut sauce. However, if you visit Palembang, South Sumatra, otak-otak is served with a red pepper blended soy sauce, or cuko, it is light to eat and pempek. Although various types of modern food continue to grow, public interest with otak-otak ikan is still quite high. Mobile merchants of otak-otak ikan in Jakarta sell a piece of otak-otak as much as 1,000 to 2,500 rupiah. Ajang and his mother, who sell at a price of 2,500 rupiah, admitted being able to sell at least 200 units per day. Even on holidays or weekends, they could sell as many as 400 to 600 pieces of otak-otak per day. Apart from getting some profit, Mr. Ajang is happy, because otak-otak with the basic ingredient of tandoori fish is also preferred by many foreign tourists who visit Pasar Baru in Jakarta.
Indonesia to promote environmental sustainability across the country's tourism destinations. This movement emphasizes the importance of maintenance clean and hygienic public facilities, particularly toilets, and improving waste management practices at our tourism sites. From the government perspective, this initiative is a key part of strengthening the health and hygiene pillar, which is a critical component of the Travel and Tourism Development Index, or TTDI. Currently, Indonesia ranks 89th out of 114 countries in this category. Through programs like Gerakan Wisata Bersih, the government aims to elevate this ranking into the top 60, or ideally the top 50. But beyond the rankings, the movement also reflects a broader effort to enhance Indonesia's tourism competitiveness. It encourages a sense of shared responsibility among tourists, tourism operators, and local communities for preserving the environment. Ultimately, the goal is to foster sustainable tourism that benefits both present and future generations. That's all.
So in other words, it's green tourism.
Yeah, you can say that. Not also green in perspective of environment, but also for the perspective of social and culture.
Social and culture, okay. And how does the movement systems work?
Gerakan Wisata Bersih focuses on two key components. The one is waste management, and the second one is toilet management. To bring this initiative to life, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has launched a pilot program in 8 key destinations. This includes 5 at what we call super priority tourism destinations, such as Lake Toba, Borobudur, Mandalika, Labuan Bajo, and also Likupang, as well as 1 priority destination, Banyuwangi, and 3 major tourism hubs, the Riau Island, Bali, and also Jakarta. To ensure effective implementation, the government has partnered with a range of stakeholders. Toilet management efforts are supported by the Indonesian Toilet Association, or ETI, which helps maintain and improve public sanitation facilities. For waste management, the ministry collaborates with NGOs and private sector partners to introduce sustainable practices and infrastructure for proper waste disposal and recycling. These collaborative efforts aim to set a standard for clean, healthy, and environmentally responsible tourism that can be scaled to other destinations across the country.
Okay, so in the areas that have implemented this movement, how's the output that you see?
I think the output of this program is quite good. Yeah, I mean, not only on the site that I mentioned before, but this initiative also inspired other destinations outside the destination that I mentioned before to do the same initiative, to do the same movement. So I think it's a good sign for Gerakan Wisata Bersih.
Any success story in one of the areas or destinations in this movement?
We can see on the, we have a program of Desa Wisata or tourism village in our country. So, and we have 4 best tourism villages in Indonesia. I think I can say that like Desa Wisata Panglipuran in Bali, this village recognized for its strong cultural preservation, clean village environment, and community-based tourism. Also, we have Desa Wisata Ngelanggeran in Yogyakarta. This is the best tourism village in 2021. By UNVDO. This village celebrated for sustainable tourism development centered around a volcanic area integrating ecotourism and local empowerment. And also in 2024, we have 2 more the best tourism villages of UNVDO. The one is Desa Wisata Jatilui in Bali, and also Desa Wisata Bukit Sari in Bantul, Yogyakarta. I think the best examples that we have to show to the world how Indonesia implement or practices the sustainable tourism in our destination.
Okay, fortunately, Voice of Indonesia managed to visit one of them. Panglipuran in Bali at that time. Hopefully, we can visit the other tourist villages.
Yeah.
Okay. Previously, you mentioned about the collaboration with stakeholders, NGOs. But what about the coordination of national and local governments to apply clean tourism principles?
I think this is the important key factor. How we in the national and local governments coordinate and collaborate each other to apply clean tourism principles. National and local governments work closely together to implement clean tourism principles, ensuring that policies and actions are aligned to create sustainable and environmentally responsible tourism destination. This coordination takes place through 4 main areas. The first one is about policies and regulations. National and local authorities align their visions and missions by developing consistent policies, including regional regulation, or we call it peraturan daerah, perda, and on cleanliness and sustainability. National standards and certification are also introduced, which can be adapted or expanded by local government. Then the second one is programs about the programs and implementation. National initiatives are rolled out at the regional level, with the central government supporting local efforts through funding, guidance, and also the establishment of a regional task force or coordination team. So in terms of Gerakan Wisata Bersih or clean tourism movement, we fully support and we coordinate with the local government to make the inclusivity and the participation of the community, the local community. And the third one is about education and awareness. Joint campaigns are conducted to raise public awareness about cleanliness and sustainability in tourism. Training and capacity building programs are also provided for tourism businesses, community members, and also local officials.
and conducting evaluations. The feedback gathered informs policy improvements and help strengthen the effectiveness of the clean tourism movement.
And so one of the efforts to ensure this coordination is that last week, Indonesian Ministry of Tourism visited several regions to reinforce this campaign, urging stakeholders to take active roles in preserving environments while supporting tourism growth. So what's the goal of last week's ministry visit to the regions, the result and the outcomes expected?
Yeah, last week, the ministry visited Mandalika and also Labuan Bajo. The primary goal was to raise awareness about the importance of cleanliness in tourism destination and to strengthen the commitment of local stakeholders. About local stakeholders. It is the government, private sector, and communities in fostering a clean, healthy, and sustainable tourism environment. This visit also serves as a platform to promote principles of regenerative tourism. It is not only minimize environmental impact, but actively contributes to the restoration and well-being of tourism destination, like we did in Labuan Bajo. In addition to the visit aimed to align the visions and mission of relevant ministries and institutions to ensure that the clean tourism movement is effectively implemented. Of course, about this issue, we collaborate with the Ministry of Environment as well as Ministry of Forestry. This includes ensuring regulatory backing, fostering cross-sector collaboration, and integrating the movement into broader sustainable tourism development programs. The expected outcome is a more unified and actionable approach that supports long-term tourism resilience and competitiveness across Indonesia.
In the near future, any short-term plan, programs, or events coming up to promote clean tourism movement?
Yeah. Next week, we will implement the program on the Danau Toba. Danau Toba is one of our priority tourism destination in Indonesia, located at North Sumatra, Danau Toba. So I think it's also very good to implement to get the participation, to get the inclusivity of the all stakeholders in Danau Toba.
Really, sounds so exciting. Danau Toba next week. Okay. And in every region visited, how do you see people's awareness, enthusiasm in supporting this movement?
Yeah, we can see the passion and the spirit of our people to make our destination more clean and comfort to be visited. In average, in every of our events of Gerakan Wisata Bersih, attended by in average 2,000 people to do the movement for big screen up, for instance, in Mandalika as well as Labuan Bajo. So I think it's really good and really nice to also to promote volume tourism. That's what we call. Foreign tourism. So we invite as well as foreign tourists, also domestic tourists, to involve in this movement to do the big screening, for instance, and also how they can see how should they treat their waste or their dust to put it on the right place, not on the river, not on the street, something like that. Yeah.
Volunteerism, really interesting. When it comes to challenges, how do you see this in applying this movement?
Yeah, about the challenges, I think the biggest one is about the mindset. I mean, how we can educate our people, our stakeholders in every destination to have the attitude, to have the habits of cleanliness. So I think this is the biggest challenge. And of course, so we talk about awareness and behavior. That's the first. And the second one is about the infrastructure. There is a lack of adequate infrastructure for waste management, sanitation, and clean water in some of our tourist destinations. The third is about law enforcement. Of course, this is the important thing if we talk about the regulation. The enforcement of law related to cleanliness and environmental protection in the tourism sector is need to be improved. And the fourth is about coordination among the stakeholders. Yeah, that's all.
So let's raise people's awareness then in implementing this clean tourism movement. What would you like to say to all parties, government, stakeholders, travelers, and our listeners around the world who plan to visit Indonesia so that can they be more aware of this movement, ensuring the future of clean, sustainable tourism in Indonesia?
Thank you. So let's unite and take collective responsibility from policymaking to on-the-ground action. Government, businesses, local communities, travelers, and educational institutions must collaborate actions all stages of tourism development and implementation. Let's be a responsible tourist because this is our planet, the only one that we should take care about it. Together, we can enhance the physical experience by offering meaningful, immersive, and sustainable travel options that respect local cultures and the environment. By embracing Indonesia natural beauty and cultural heritage, by embracing a circular economy, we empower local communities, ensuring that tourism not only preserves Indonesia natural beauty and cultural heritage, but also fosters economic opportunities that benefit both present and future generations. So let's build the quality and the sustainability in our tourism.
Yes, hopefully with self-awareness, collaboration, we can together realize clean tourism movement. Thank you so much, Pak Fajar Hutomo, expert staff of
crisis management of Indonesian Tourism Ministry for sharing your insight about the clean tourism movement in Indonesia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, we've heard that today's real-life talk, clean tourism, it's not just about preserving places. It's about building a culture of care, responsibility, and collaboration. The journey starts with all of us. Stay tuned for more inspiring talk only on Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave, 3.3 to 5 kHz, and 4.7 to 5.5 kHz, and live streaming on VOIUS.ID and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: diplomatic forum, the fashion, Indonesian wonder, Kisarani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian pop and regional songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cinta yang dulu pernah ada, memang sudah coba lupakan.